These days, who isn't on a budget? Whether it's a ramen noodles every night budget, a cut back on your cable channel's budget, or how in the world am I ever going to put my kids through college budget? Allstate has something just for you. The Allstate Value Plan. It's their most affordable car insurance, and it still comes with an Allstate agent. Plus, the Value Plan includes Allstate Easy Pay, so you can stay on top of your payments without even thinking about it. The Allstate Value Plan. It's the kind of car insurance that fits any kind of budget. It's Allstate for all.
There's an Allstate policy for everyone. Why not see how much you can save with the Allstate Value Plan? Find an agent near you at allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Allstate Value Plan. Dollar for dollar. Nobody protects you like Allstate.
TBS News correspondent Bill Whitney tells us about a pretty unhappy happy birthday party.
A child's birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese in Pearland, Texas, ended badly when the birthday girl was forgotten. Her mother and adult relatives had brought a total of 19 kids in three cars. When it was all over, employees found 5-year-old Azana Jackson playing all alone. Jeff Mink of the Brazoria County Sheriff's Office as Child Protective Services took the little girl. They didn't hear from the mom till the next morning.
The mother was very upset. Very emotional that she, you know, had left the child at Chuck E. Cheese.
They're investigating whether it was intentional, and if not, why it took the mother so long to realize her child was missing. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
We lose an hour of sleep tonight in exchange for more daylight at 2 a.m. local time tomorrow across much of the country. Daylight saving time returns, so move the clocks ahead an hour. You don't have to do it exactly at 2 a.m. You can do it before you go to sleep. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Claire, it's Anne. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-861-7555. That's 1-800-861-7555. 1-800-861-7555.
1270, The Buzz. The Buzz.
Welcome back to Broadview on 1270 The Buzz, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
And thank you very much for staying with us for our second hour of Broadview. We get into the politics of life, which JP really loves, and as always brings his attitude. You can check out his common sense as well as all his attitude at jpattitude.com. And now on the line, our guest, Phil Kirpin. He's the Vice President for Policy at Americans for Prosperity and the author of Democracy Denied. Hello, Phil.
Hi, great to be with you.
It's great for you to be back again. We had an interview right after you came out with Democracy Denied, which I love the book. Love it, love it. A lot of good stuff in there. And now what, you've written an article about the upcoming Supreme Court case, which is, of course, regarding President Obama's health care law. And what I see here is the question is if whether the mandate to purchase health insurance is a legitimate exercise of the federal government's power to regulate interstate commerce. That's kind of a roundabout way, isn't it?
Well, that's kind of the big question. I mean, there are a few things the Supreme Court's going to decide that are important, but that's kind of the biggest one because that's not just about health care. That's about whether we've still got a federal government that has limited powers or whether they can more or less do anything that they want. And if they can order people to purchase a product or service, and that's what the mandate does, then the government could do nearly anything. Essentially a limitless power. It destroys any limits on power that were left in the Constitution. So that is really the central question and the one that most focused on. But But for healthcare itself, I think that the second question might be even more important, and that is, you know, if they do strike down that mandate, will they leave the rest of the law intact, this disastrous Obamacare law, or will they strike down the entire thing? And, you know, I think...
Can they leave part of it intact?
They may well do that. That is precisely what the 11th Circuit Appeals Court in Atlanta that heard this case, they struck down just the mandate and they left everything else intact. And if the Supreme Court does the same thing, it's going to be a real disaster, because of the guaranteed issue and community rating regulations that are in the bill. And these are the provisions that say a guaranteed issue says nobody can be turned down insurance, no matter how sick you are, no matter what pre-existing conditions you have, what have you. And community rating says everyone has to be charged more or less the same rate. And if you have those rules in place without the mandate forcing everyone to buy insurance, young people, healthy people who don't go to the doc, they have no reason to buy insurance, because they know if they ever actually get sick, they can buy insurance then after the fact, and they can't be charged more, and they can't be turned down. And so if those regulations stand without the mandate, healthy people are going to drop out of insurance pools. The pools are going to be thicker, therefore premiums are going to be much more costly, and all but the largest insurance companies are going to go out of business pretty quickly. So it's going to be a real disaster.
Well, you know what, Phil? I think, you know, as a young career girl 30 years ago, I didn't want to get insurance. I mean, almost every job that I had was corporate, and they offered insurance, and I wanted to buy out of it, let's say, and not pay for it because I felt healthy. And that seems attractive.
And you ought to have that right. And, of course, that's why the mandate is so wrong. I mean, the idea of government forcing you to purchase something, whether mm-hmm. you want it or not, really destroys that freedom, that liberty of yours to decide whether or not you want insurance. Now, that said, and that certainly should be the case, people should not be forced to buy something they don't want to buy. But if you choose not to buy insurance and then you get sick or something happens to you, you should pay the consequences of that. You should not then be able to buy insurance after the fact and force other people to pay for it. And you know, that is what these regulations would do if they are allowed to stand. And so I hope that the court will strike them down. And of course, there's so many other things in that law that are such a disaster. All the taxes, all the new boards, agencies, bureaucracies, the rationing board that can deny people treatment in Medicare and all the rest of it. The whole thing needs to be repealed. If the Supreme Court does not strike down the whole thing, it really just, I think, increases the urgency for Congress to repeal this law, and if not this year, then for the American people to elect a Congress that can repeal it next year.
Yeah, what's it going to take for them to repeal it? Get a Republican in there?
Well, look, if Obama's reelected, you got to assume that even if the Republicans control Congress, he's going to veto any repeal bill. So mm-hmm. the presidential election is pretty important for actually being able to repeal this thing. And 2013 is going to be a crucial year. Now, unless the Supreme Court strikes down the whole law, which, of course, I think they ought to, and I hope they will, but unless the Supreme Court does that, 2013 is really going to be our last chance, because come 2014, when all of the rules and regulations and bureaucracies are up and running, there are going to be all the various special interests that benefit from it, all the government workers and union workers that are out there implementing it, there'll just be so many interests locked in place, it'll become much, much harder to repeal it come 2014. So 2013 is really going to be the key opportunity to make it happen.
So let me ask you something. If they don't strike it down and repeal the whole thing and say they keep a couple of the mandates, does that mean that's it? I mean, won't there be another chance for us? Is there a way to overturn Supreme Court's decisions?
Well, only the Supreme Court can overturn itself, and you know they'd be unlikely to do that unless you know the judges shifted and someone new were appointed. And of course, if it's an Obama appointee, you can count on them being on board with pretty much unlimited government power. And so, you know, the future of the direction of the Supreme Court kind of goes with the presidential election as well. I mean, it's a matter of who's going to be appointing the next Supreme Court justice.
Well, and, you know, they talk about Romney, if he's in there, that his original whole care for Massachusetts, that President Obama kind of formed his around that.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually really interesting, because 4 years ago, Mitt Romney was totally in support of a mandate requiring people to buy insurance, and Barack Obama was totally against it. Actually, that was the main campaign issue that he used against Hillary Clinton. He said, she wants to force you to buy insurance. I would never do that. I just want to make it more affordable. I don't want to force anyone. And he flip-flopped. Once he came into office, he cut a deal with the insurance companies. And basically, you know, the big insurance companies and Barack Obama cut this deal where he said to them, look, if you agree to all these various regulations and restrictions and bureaucracies placed on you, I'll force everyone in America to buy your product, and I'll throw hundreds of billions of tax dollars and subsidies in to sweeten the pot. And it was a very corrupt and dirty deal. It went directly against one of his campaign promises. And so Barack Obama flip-flopped from opposing the mandate to supporting it. Meanwhile, Mitt Romney did the exact opposite. He flip-flopped from supporting it when he established it in Massachusetts, and he urged Obama to include it in the plan. Before Obama flip-flopped, he was sort of one of the people trying to convince him. And now he basically admits that was a mistake. He says he doesn't support a mandate and that he would repeal it if he comes into office. And so, you know, if the general election is Romney versus Obama, it's going to be two guys who have flip-flopped on this issue, who have not been consistent on it. You know, I would suggest that the guy who flip-flops from being wrong on something to being right, which in this case is Mitt Romney, is much more attractive to voters than the guy who made a specific promise on something, used to be right on the issue, and then flip-flopped and imposed something very wrong on the American people. And so I think the issue still hurts Obama, even if Romney is the candidate. But you're right. If it is Romney, we're going to have mm-hmm. two people who flip-flopped on this very important issue.
We got flip-flop flap house.
Yeah.
That's what we got going on.
All over the place.
Phil Kirpin, give everybody your website out there so they can learn more about this, and also check out your book, Democracy Denied, which I'm just loving it anyway. And give them your website.
Yeah, it's philkirpin.com, which is my name, philkirpen.com.
When's your next book's coming out?
Well, I'm gonna not for a while. It took a lot of work that last one, and you know, I've been really focused on these public policy fights, but we'll see. I got some ideas for another one, but that one is still very, very current, and you know, the Obamacare chapter is in there, and you know, all these other issues that are really central to what's going on right now.
Can I ask you who is your favorite candidate so far? Can I ask you that or no?
Well, I mean, you can ask me. I was a big supporter of Herman Cain, so I was
there. You go.
When he dropped out. He's been a friend of mine for years, and you know, I was really upset with the way they treated him with all those ridiculous allegations.
Well, you know what? Why did he give in to them? Did he have to for his family?
His fundraising was really affected by it. Number one, but you know, number two, his wife wanted him to drop out, and you know, you got to put family first in that kind of a situation. And so, you know, he had to do that, and it was the right thing under the circumstance. But the way they treated him, really, I think, was wrong. So, you know, he was the guy I was really excited about. I'm not particularly excited about any of the guys who are still in, so I really haven't picked one of them.
So you're kind of waiting till the last fall of the shoe.
Yeah, something like that. My focus has really been exposing how extreme Obama is, and you know, all the stuff that's in the book, and you know, everything that he's still trying to do. And you know, I think you know, we've got to remind everyone. People get so excited about one of these Republicans that they like and start hating all the others. We've got to remind everyone that we've got a president of the United States who's doing tremendous damage to our Constitution, to our system of government, to the rule of law, and to our economy. And you know, that's got to be the focus, I think.
Yes, I do, too. Thank you so much, Phil. You keep it up for us, okay? Keep your watchdog eyes open.
All right. My pleasure. Have a good one.
Thank you. You, too. Yeah, his book, Democracy Denied. Very, very interesting. Well, well voiced.
Was it just my earphones, or was the reception there horrible?
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, phone. He's calling from New York, but he kind of faded in and out. Hey, that's right. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah,
solar storm is going on. I had trouble with my computer this morning. I was so frustrated, man against machine, and I think maybe that was something that had something to do with it.
I don't know.
How long is it supposed to last?
That was horrible reception. He kept coming in and out.
Yeah, I know. He did. Don't focus on the negative.
Okay.
Focus on the positive. I think we all understood what he was saying. As far as this is a very important case coming up with the Supreme Court, and it really could go against what we believe our Constitution represents. So we're just going to have to keep a real watchdog eye on it.
Yep.
Okay, what else? Oh, we were talking about a little bit about Rush Limbaugh.
He was in my moment of common sense
a little bit. And it now I find out we were talking about fluke.
Yeah.
Now they're saying fluck. They're saying it's Sandra Fluck.
What about the E on the end of the name?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about that, what O'Reilly said and what you and I talked about last week, and a little bit about what's going on, the FCC and Rush, and more of our political segment coming up right here on Broadview. Please don't go away.
1270, The Buzz. The Buzz.
How much does a polar bear weigh? Enough to break the ice? You're prettier than the girl who has a restraining order against me. That's a great blouse. I have the same one in turquoise. Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
Tired of bad pickup lines? We understand. Find somebody special at Cupid.com. Millions have signed up already and more are joining every day, right in your area. Cupid.com is free and easy to use, so give it a try now. Just sign up at Cupid.com to start meeting people and avoid bad pickup lines like these.
Poof, here I am. What are your other two wishes? Want to get out of here and go to my place? My parents are out of town. I seem to have lost my phone number. Can I borrow yours?
Heard a bad pickup line lately? Send it to us at Cupid.com. If we really hate it, we'll put it in our next ad.
Cupid.com. Reno Aces tickets are on sale Saturday, March 10th at 10 a.m. For details, visit RenoAces.com.
Welcome back to Broadview on 1270 The Buzz, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us on this Saturday. This is Broadview. I am Jay Davis, and my co-host JP is over there. And you know, I was just reading a little bit more about that. 8 states that adopted the Obama insurance, healthcare, has dropped it as of date.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's going to be very important for the Supreme Court.
I mean, they passed that thing Eve in the middle of the night.
There will be mandatory vaginal insertion if we let this go.
They didn't read it themselves. They just gave it to the staff and said, put out 2,000 pages of nonsense.
How could you read it? I mean, how many pages was it?
Yeah, it was
ridiculous. I know. But I do believe in reform, and I do think it was a beginning. Not that I praise Obama for it, but Hillary was looking for a way for us all to be taken care of with health insurance, not looking at other ways besides the way Canada and France and some other countries are doing it. And this is what they came up with. So I'm hoping they'll repeal it, and then next session, next year,
let's not we'll try to
redo
it all in one bill. Let's just say, okay, here's a problem.
Now.
Let's
How
fix it.
How long have they been doing it? Have they been looking for as long as we're talking? It's been on and on and on with that. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Fluky Flucky.
All right.
I just wanted to say that last week you kind of agitated me by calling her.
Do we have to bring that up
again?
Yes,
because I need to clarify it. You called her a whale tail. But that's because you understood that a fluke
is a
section of a whale's tail. And I thought you were calling her a piece of whale tail.
I was trying to add levity to the argument.
I told you to stop with your stand-up
comedy
routine.
A piece of tail. It was a pun. And I told you I had a seventh grade teacher who tried to tell me puns are the lowest form of humor, but I have never learned my lesson.
I know you haven't, and you keep reminding me to tell you you're not very funny, but now I do see the light there. But anyway, O'Reilly had jumped on the bandwagon with Rush Limbaugh, which I was really upset about. He jumped on the bandwagon because he does anyway, and they manufactured all these things to take the attention, I believe, off of Obama's blunder talking about the contraception with the Catholics.
That's what we should be talking about.
Yes. We should. And that was my point, too. My point was Rush Limbaugh being the maniac that he is. I mean, it doesn't become political anymore. Well, even if we disagree with Limbaugh's politics, what is at stake here is the fallout of a society tolerating toxic, hate-inciting speech. And for 20 years, Limbaugh has hidden behind the First Amendment,